Amen. Certainly want to thank Brother Daniel for a fine job directing us in our song service. We are likewise grateful for the reading of the scripture by Brother Riley Clemens and the leading of our prayer by Brother James Waller. And so thankful to God to be back home and to be here with you this morning. In addition to the expression of appreciation and thanks to the congregation for all that you have done in expressing your care and your concern and your condolences and your sympathies with us, members of the family of Abraham Jones. You know, it's kind of difficult to reconcile ourselves fully to the reality of the fact that he is no longer with us. You know, when we used to look in the bulletin, we saw his name there. And his name has been on the sick list in multiple bulletins across the country. And of course, now it is removed. And in a very real sense, that's a good thing because he's no longer sick. I did not and will not speak of him as a great soldier that has fallen. I think of him in terms of a great soldier that has risen because he has been born by angelic pallbearers to that place of celestial rest, where the wicked cease from troubling and the weary be at rest, and all God's saints of the ages will sit at his feet and be blessed. I mentioned to someone following his passing, I believe it was to the Southside congregation where I preached Sunday before last, that was Abraham's congregation. I mentioned that now Abraham is with Abraham. When I speak of him being with Abraham, I'm speaking of him being with the father of the faithful. By virtue of our faith, we have certain assurances when we just simply take God at his word. We are unable of our own accord to pull back the curtain of death and take a look beyond the grave and beyond this life, but through faith, it can be done. Brother William Proud frequently leads the song, Living by Faith, and that's what we are doing. Our faith strengthens us. Our faith sustains us, especially during times like these. So again, thank all of you for all that you have done for the Jones family during this time of loss. I want to thank the elders especially for graciously allowing me to be absent from the pulpit two Sundays in a row. I appreciate their caring and sympathetic spirit indulging me, allowing me this opportunity to spend some meaningful and much needed time with my family. So thank you, Brother Gerald and Brother William, and thank you, Hart Street congregation. Keep praying for us. We still face some difficult days ahead, but things are going well. Turn now, please, to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And I'd like to talk to you about crises in life. And I'd like to simply speak specifically using the title for our lesson, Christ for crises. When we think about a crisis, we think about a difficult or dangerous situation that needs serious attention. We also think about the turning point for better or worse in an acute disease or fever. On the Tuesday before Abraham passed, he entered a special crisis mode and required emergency surgery. On Thursday, 2 days later, that evening, he entered another crisis mode or an escalated crisis condition, and it became apparent to him and apparent to his wife and daughter and apparent to some of his siblings that his time had just about run out. I'm told that before he left, headed to the hospital, that he looked around in his home and said, I probably won't make it back. So he knew, apparently, or strongly suspicioned, that his life was near an end. And while in the hospital, I am told, he told his wife, he said, you may as well get my black suit out, because he realized he didn't have much time to stay. Crisis is further defined as an emotionally significant event or radical change of status in a person's life. An unstable or crucial time or state of affairs in which a decisive change is impending, especially one with the distinct possibility of a highly undesirable outcome. And finally, crisis is defined as a situation that has reached a critical phase. Christ for the crisis or the crises. Christ is the best solution for any crisis that arises in our lives. Christ is the best antidote for any critical situation in life in which we find ourselves. We encounter a crisis in our scripture lesson for today's message. Turn again to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. The Bible says in verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over or cross over unto the other side. I like to think in terms of life itself involving a crossing over to the other side. We are on one side of the lake of life, as it were, when we begin life. And
the sea or the ocean of life progressively but surely and inexorably. So Jesus said, when the evening was come, let's cross over to the other side. And when he had sent the multitude away, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. You see, everybody is crossing over. Of course, we are at different places in our crossing, but we are all crossing to the other side. So we see the crossing. And in the process of crossing, we encounter the crisis. Verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. You're doing all right when the ship or when the boat is in the water, but you become concerned when water start getting in the boat. It's fine and it's normal and it's natural for the boat to be in the water, but it's unnatural and it causes serious concern when the water starts getting in the boat. The Sea of Galilee is a unique body of water. I was talking to Brother Danny Bland and his wife at Gospel Advocate the other day. Starting December the 28th, they took a trip to the Holy Land. And the thing that stood out in their minds, one of their most memorable experiences, was the fact that they got a chance to travel on the Sea of Galilee. And he said how fascinating that was to be able to sail on the very sea where this storm arose in the context of our lesson today. You see, the Sea of Galilee is 696 feet below sea level and is therefore subject to violent downdrafts and sudden storms. Storms can appear at any time without a warning due to the geographical location and situation of the Sea of Galilee. Because of how it is situated geographically, it's just subject to certain storms arising. The same is true of the Sea of Life. Due to its location in this low land of trouble and sorrow, at any time, without any warning, serious storms can arise in our lives. Without any warning, just out of the clear blue, these storms arise. My brother was telling me on last night that he has a next door neighbor who spends a lot of time out in front of the house on his cell phone. He does a lot of talking. And just a few days ago, something happened. And this young man, along with some others, got in his vehicle and went to meet some other young men And they met, I believe, at Kmart. And he had had a serious altercation with another young man. And when he got out of his car, and the other young man got out of his car, he took the weapon, a Glock, that he had in his possession. This 17-year-old shot the 18-year-old 6 times and killed him graveyard dead. That family is now in crisis. The family of the young man that was killed, the family of the young man that did the killing, and he's going to be no doubt charged with murder. His life is ruined. If he had decided to simply stay home, stay in his house, mind his own business, not go out seeking trouble, or seeking revenge or retribution, he would not be in custody today. And the other young man would still be alive, and his family wouldn't be facing this grave crisis. But storms in life, on the sea of life, can arise just that suddenly, because of the kind of world in which we live. And that is all the more reason for us to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, instilling within them the vital principles of right and wrong, and helping them to understand the validity of what James affirmed in his prayer. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. Amen. For this is the whole duty of man. Amen. Young people, nothing is more vitally important than recognizing the grave significance of living for God, of learning about God, of living for him, being obedient to him. Life just is a whole lot better when you listen to and when you obey the God of heaven. It's better for all of us when we listen to God's word, and when we order our lives by its divine precepts. Give God serious attention. I know we hear preaching, we hear teaching, we hear it from the preachers, we hear it from the Bible school teachers, we hear it from our parents, we hear it from the elders and the deacons, but we have to pay attention to it. You know, they say that familiarity breeds contempt. You know, a lot of times we hear something so often, yeah, that we just tend to ignore it. And it's like water off of a duck's back. But some of these days, you're going to recognize that you have placed yourselves in grave peril by failing to listen and to heed the word of God. We are much better enabled to deal with the various crises of life when we have God in our lives. You know, we're confronted with a wide range of crises in our lives: financial crisis, family crisis, amen, job crisis, health crisis, marital crisis, crisis of sorrow and bereavement, and assorted other crises in our lives. So the crises are going to come. come, you may as well reconcile yourself to the reality of that. But be not dismayed, whatever betide. Christ is available for your crisis, whatever it might be. Notice verse 38. And he, that is Christ, was in the hinder part, the stern part, the back part of the ship. What was Jesus doing? He was asleep. Isn't that wonderful? In the middle of the storm, he was asleep. We speak of that peace that passes understanding. Jesus had it. Jesus experienced it in the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And the disciples, they were beside themselves with fear and frustration. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? Do you realize what's happening? Do you realize the storm we are in? Do you realize the danger we are facing? Do you realize the degree to which our lives are imperiled? Of course he knew. You know, we sang that song, Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep? But then we go on down, the winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. Peace be still. The Lord was in control.
Amen.
But we feel that we're perishing. You know, we're being destroyed. We have been devastated, perishing in despair, perishing in grief, perishing in frustration, perishing in debt, perishing in disease, perishing in pain, perishing in sorrow, perishing in bereavement, perishing in depression, defeat, and disillusionment. Don't you care, Lord, what's happening to us? Of course he cares. I know he cares. And he's capable of fully identifying with us in whatever crisis we find ourselves. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He knows what's going on with you, and he wants to reassure you that things are going to be well. I believe we just sang the song a few minutes ago, It Is Well With My Soul. Back in Jonah chapter 1, there was another experience of crisis on the sea. Starting with verse number 4, Jonah chapter 1, I want to just point out two significant things. Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. In the middle of the storm, Jonah was asleep. Verse number 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, notice that we perish not. What did the disciples say? Carest thou not that we perish? The mariners on the sea, in which the ship in which Jonah was traveling, they said, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Two sleepers. One sleeper, Jonah, he was asleep during the storm. But notice the difference. Jonah was asleep during the storm in complacency. But on the other hand, Jesus was asleep during the storm in confidence. He had confidence. Jonah was complacent. Jonah was carelessly and complacently oblivious to what was going on around him. Jesus was fully aware and engaged, although he was asleep. No matter what storm arises in life, we have the assurance as children of God that Jesus is there. And Jesus is aware of what's happening with us and to us. And he assures us, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That means something to me. And I believe it means something to you as well. When we go back to Mark chapter 4, verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace, be still. Jesus demonstrated mastery over disease, over demons, over death, over natural disaster, because he is the creator of the world. He is powerful. He is potent. He is the source of all reality. Unlike the pitiful, lifeless, powerless gods that Jeremiah described in our lesson text this morning, the mere idols that are impotent, the creation of men's hands. So we have looked at the crossing, the crisis, the Christ, the command, and finally, the calm, verse 39b, and the wind ceased. That was a great calm. When the winds of opposition, illness, financial reverses, domestic problems, parental challenges, despair, distress, losses, depression, disappointment, when they blow against us, we can be assured that Christ is present to calm the storms in which we find ourselves enveloped. Amen. Verse 40, he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? They had a faith deficit and a fear surplus. The phrase, fear not, appears in the Bible at least 365 times. And I like to think in terms of one time for every day. fear not. Verse 41, they feared exceedingly. They were in awe of him and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I commend to you Christ for the crises. If you are here this morning and you are not a child of God, you are unable to have the assurance that Jesus is with you and he will handle your crises for you. You can't make the same appeal to him that Christians can make to him. I would advise you, I would encourage you to become a Christian today.